Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey. It seemed like a good idea and simple enough to enforce, but when is anything ever simple? The Southampton Town Board held a public hearing last week to talk about fallout from a 2019 state law that authorized school districts to install stop-arm cameras on school buses to catch drivers who unlawfully pass a stopped school bus, according to an explainer on the town's website. Tom Gogola reports on 27East.com that when those drivers pass a stopped school bus, a camera takes a photo, which is then sent to the cloud and then to safety experts at a company called Alert Bus, who then review the footage and prepare evidence packages for law enforcement. Violators pay the ticket via the third-party vendor Alert Bus, which provides a portal to a video of their purported misdeed. Most people just pay the ticket. But hundreds, about 400 people who were ticketed in the town of Southampton, have cases pending where they have asked for a hearing, where none is available at this time. The issue, said Assistant Southampton Town Attorney Sean Cambridge, is that the 2019 law is a non-criminal offense without any sanction available through the Department of Motor Vehicles, such as points on a driver's license. The Southampton Town Justice Court is not the right venue to hear those cases, given that they have no discretion over a ticket that comes with a predetermined fine and no option for defendants other than to enter a guilty or not guilty plea and pay the fine or not. Local judges have recommended dismissing that entire batch of pending cases and starting fresh with a new administrative law judge in place as soon as the town board can sort it out. More than 10 school districts statewide, including at least one on the East End, received swatting threats yesterday that were intended to cause panic and scare students and faculty, Governor Kathy Hochul said. John Valenti and Robert Brodsky report on Newsday.com that East Hampton Town Police confirmed one of those threats was received early Wednesday by officials in the Amagansett School District, which has one elementary school. East Hampton officers and state police responded to Amagansett School, but found no credible threat. East Hampton Police spokesman Captain Christopher Anderson said Amagansett received an emailed threat shortly before 9 a.m. yesterday from an anonymous source stating that bombs had been placed in the school, as well as every school in New York State. The email said, listed a place upstate where the ransom should be delivered. But investigators determined the threat was not credible. It almost seemed as if it was a half-bomb threat with a component of swatting to it, Anderson said. But after investigation, it was determined it was all bogus. This originated in a foreign country, as far as we could tell. The Amagansett school building was evacuated and law enforcement searched the school but found nothing suspicious. Students were allowed back in shortly before 11 a.m. East Hampton Town expects to begin clearing land off Abraham's Path in January to make way for the start of construction of the new East Hampton Senior Center. Michael Wright reports on 27East.com that the architects who are designing the building presented the town board with detailed plans for the new facility, featuring sloping roof lines reminiscent of a potato barn, stainless steel shingles, and skylights that are able to capture energy while allowing sunlight into the building's central spaces, and said they hope to have the building under construction by the second half of next year and completed by late 2025. The town of East Hampton purchased the 7-acre property adjacent to the town ball fields on the east side of Abraham's Path in 2021 for $1.63 million. Southold officials agree that the town should use money from its new community housing fund to provide loans for first-time homebuyers and encourage construction of accessory apartments to address the town's growing affordable housing crisis. But board members are at odds over how to implement the program. The town board on October 10th voted 6-0 to approve the housing plan, which guides how money generated through a 0.5% tax on most real estate transactions will be spent. Tara Smith reports on Newsday.com that in a separate vote, the board narrowly approved creating a new position to oversee the program. That measure passed in a 4-2 vote and directs the supervisor to submit a document that outlines responsibilities to the Suffolk County Department of Civil Service in order to match the position with a title. Supervisor Scott Russell voted against the new position. He and Councilmember Louisa Evans agree the board should identify their priorities before hiring someone. The plan calls for a new housing department, but Councilmember Jill Doherty said hiring one person can serve as a springboard for implementing the plan. "We need that expertise to guide us," she told Newsday. The new employee would review applications for community housing programs, monitor ongoing projects, maintain a housing registry and list of properties for sale or lease at all times, and conduct compliance reviews, among other responsibilities, according to the filing. The document does not include a salary, but sets qualifications as a bachelor's degree or higher and prior experience in government or private sector housing. The use of homes in residential neighborhoods for short-term rentals through online booking sites like Airbnb have been vilified by local municipalities as corporate facilitation of illegal activity that is degrading the quality of life in neighborhoods and winnowing away the supply of affordable housing by removing rental properties from the year-round market. Michael Wright reports on 27East.com that most local towns and villages have banned or strictly limited rentals of less than 2 weeks specifically to combat the impacts on neighbors and housing costs, but they have struggled to identify and prosecute the homeowners who violate the laws. The smattering of charges brought barely scratching the surface of the problem or scaring others out of the lucrative practice. But East Hampton Town thinks it may have found an avenue to more easily ferret out those violating the rules and proving quickly in court that the landlord is culpable if it proves legally viable. Last summer, after neighbors on a narrow winding street on Fort Pond in Montauk complained about different tenants occupying a small collection of cottages on the street each weekend, East Hampton Town's legal team issued a subpoena to Airbnb, demanding to see the records for the property. The Mattituck Fire District will host a public information session on an expansion project up for an October 24th public referendum this evening at 7 p.m. at the firehouse. The Mattituck Fire District Board of Commissioners agreed in September to move forward with a community-wide capital bond referendum vote next Tuesday for the expansion of the current firehouse. The vote will be held from 3 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the firehouse located at 1000 Pike Street in Mattituck next Tuesday. This referendum is a result of more than a year of evaluation and meetings with department volunteers following the defeat of the fire district's initial proposal in June of 2022. That public hearing is this evening at 7 p.m. in the Mattituck Firehouse. Governor Kathy Hochul of New York embarked yesterday on an impromptu trip to Israel. A 30-hour visit that she acknowledged would have no geopolitical impact on an escalating war 5,700 miles away from the state she leads. Louis Faris Sardini in the New York Times reports from Tel Aviv that the point of her whirlwind excursion to Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, Ms. Hochul said, would be purely and powerfully symbolic, a bold gesture of support by the leader of a state that is home to the largest population of Jews outside of Israel. There is a deep, direct connection between New York State and Israel that has always been there, a bond steeled over decades, the governor, a Democrat, said in an interview at Kennedy Airport shortly before boarding a 10-hour commercial flight. And it's easy to go when the sun is shining and everything is fine. The community feels in Israel and in New York that my going during these times will be the most significant symbol of their importance to us than anything else we could do, she said. Her first stop, after a private briefing at the airport to discuss security measures, was to Shafayim, a kibbutz just north of Tel Aviv on the Mediterranean coast, where she visited a hotel that had been converted into a temporary shelter for nearly 400 people evacuated from Kfar Aza, a kibbutz near the Gaza border that was among the hardest hit. A bulletin board in the hotel lobby kept a handwritten tally of the number of burials so far, 44, with 10 more awaiting funerals. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.